This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasothi. Liam Harkness in the studio with me, holistic lifestyle coach and sports therapist. We're discussing weight loss today, Liam. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Mira. You're looking well too.
Thank you. Liam, you know, the last time we came on, I mean, you're very much a lifestyle coach, right?
Yes.
And your approach to everything is very different from mainstream, and your whole weight loss issue today, or the topic that you're going to be discussing today, when I was looking at some of the things you're going to look at, the diet myths and things like that, is totally against what I have been reading. So we're going to go through some of that. I mean, how did you get involved in the whole idea of dieting and weight loss in the first place?
Well, as a sports therapist, I had to study nutrition at a very deep level, because obviously you're training athletes for peak performance. So I spent a lot of time working with top-level athletes, bodybuilders, and people in the industry who really know every little trick to get 2 or 3% a margin on their competition.
Okay, and to a trip in terms of performance is what you're referring to.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I was thinking about weight loss here.
Well, obviously, when you're talking about people like bodybuilders, weight loss is key to their performance. So they know absolutely everything about nutrition.
Okay, and you know, when you looked through all this information that's available online today, how do you filter all this sort of information in terms of dieting techniques, you know, to differentiate between the right and the wrong? And I think that's something all of us grapple with. There's so much contradicting information out there. Which one do you go with?
Well, there is no right or wrong, so to speak. Every diet book that's published has had some degree of success with some certain people. Obviously, you have to pick the right nutritional profile for each individual. So as a nutritionist, we have to understand every concept of all of the different popular diet philosophies and understand the deeper implications with individual identity too, going back to metabolic rate, metabolic typing, blood type. We look quite closely at ethnic groups, the history of the ethnic group, the nutritional history of those people going back 10s, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of these diet philosophies that you stick to? I'm taking notes here.
Well, my biggest rule is you must always earn your food. So before every meal, you must do some form of exercise. It's not particularly practical these days, because a lot of people are sitting down for long periods of time. So you have to tailor your diet to your lifestyle. So eating high-energy foods, such as carbohydrates, we might say, but not having a chance to burn them, produces a lot of problems with weight gain.
You have five things that you should not do if your goal is weight loss, and that's very interesting. Do you want to start with the first one? Counting calories?
Counting calories, yes. I don't specifically count calories, because each different food has a different implication on the body at a hormonal level. So we might say sugar has fewer calories than fat, but sugar affects insulin, and insulin creates an environment in the body where you will store. So calories from fat will enable you to burn body fat, especially medium-chain fatty acids, but calories from sugar will promote a storing of fat.
Okay.
So you may have more calories intake with the fat, but you will store more when you take sugars.
So to look at the refined sugars as opposed to the non-refined sugars?
Well, sugars will increase the insulin in the body.
Yeah.
So anything that you take that increases insulin, which is a storage hormone, will mean that even if you're on a low-calorie diet, if those calories are promoting your body to store, then it doesn't matter how few you eat, you will still store.
Right. Okay. So that's one, the first one, counting calories. One of the things you do not believe in, or it shouldn't be a goal in weight loss, is jog or to do traditional cardio. And that's something that I swear by.
Yes. So sort of medium intensity, long duration cardio, it trains the body to store fat. So when you burn fat, which is basically your mid-intensity cardio, your body will replace the fat the next day. So your body will basically store fat for the next event. So if you have a habit of running three times a week, your body will always store the fuel for the next event.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we shouldn't be doing cardio then? Is that what you're saying?
You should burn carbohydrates during your exercise. So high intensity exercise, circuit training, interval training, mm-hmm. will burn sugar. Your body replaces the sugar by melting your body fat stores. It will replace the sugar in the form of glycogen back to the muscle, but will not replace the body fat stores.
Okay, so that's completely throwing me off here.
So stick to high intensity, short duration workouts, yeah. Not mid or low intensity, long duration.
Okay, so don't like walk for an example for half an hour. That's not going to help.
Well, do whatever puts you out of breath.
All right.
Right, okay. So high intensity, circuit training or interval training. What's very common these days is a technique called Tabata. Mm-hmm. So I use Tabata timer. Within 4 minutes, I can get a client heart rate up quite high and quite a good workout within 4 minutes.
So when you say interval, it's high and then low, and then you have a spike again.
Yes. Yeah,
so and then you come back down.
Yeah, you jog, run, sprint. Jog, run, sprint. Mm-hmm. So maybe you jog for 3 minutes,
yep.
run for 1 minute, sprint for 10 seconds.
Right.
And then start again from the beginning.
Okay, right. Mm. Interesting. Another thing that you do not believe in or in terms of weight loss is to eat anything sweet, even if it has zero calories. So are you saying we should eat anything sweet, even if it has zero calories?
No, because the body now understands that sugar is sweet. So even if you have an artificial sweetener, the response to the insulin levels is still the same. So basically, your body is storing as soon as your sweet taste buds in your mouth get activated. So it doesn't matter if there's zero calories. If you take a Coke Light, which is quite sweet, if you have it with food, you will store a higher percentage of that food, even though the Coke Light itself has zero calories.
Right. So what are you saying is if you're going to have the sugar, have it.
No, what I'm saying is try and stick to savory foods, mm-hmm. and stay away from any kind of sweets or false sweeteners.
Okay. Should we be eating carbs at all in the morning?
No.
None at all?
No. There's quite a few different
philosophies. We all eat bread in the morning.
Well, let's say since these dieting principles have been released in the last 10, 15 years, people have been gaining weight, steadily gaining weight. So when you say that my points are quite controversial, that probably makes sense because the general trend is towards weight gaining. So the points that I'm making should go against the trend that people are following these days.
Okay. So it is of course very important to eat right, Liam, when you're trying to lose weight. But very often, we don't really know which way to go, you know. So could you give me an example of a typical day and what we should be eating? For an example, in the morning, what would you suggest?
Well, in the morning, you should get up and you should exercise. So to increase your metabolic rate, you should exercise. You should improve your circulation. Most people, I would recommend to do a cold swim.
Mm-hmm.
So a cold swim in the sea or cold swim in the pool or a cold shower. It'll spike your body's metabolism. After that, after your exercise, you may have a recovery meal. So after you've exercised, you may have a few carbohydrates. So quite typically, maybe some poached eggs with one small piece of toast or... You know, if you were really serious into weight loss, you would probably have boiled or grilled chicken, maybe one or two egg whites,
mm-hmm.
plus sort of some form of low glycemic carbohydrate.
Okay. So maybe bread that is whole grain, that sort of thing.
Brown rice normally. Yes.
Brown rice in the
brown
morning.
Rice.
Okay, so to start training myself to eat brown rice in the morning.
Yes.
Nasi lemak is entirely different. So switching to brown rice will take some getting used to, isn't it?
Yes, I'm sure.
And very often, well, most of us at least, who are trying to lose weight, don't think, or we think very negatively you know, of our body. How important is that towards losing weight? It's not something that most people talk about, actually.
No, but it's hugely important. So quite often I've worked with clients who, even though they're doing maybe 80% of the right, following the right program, that 20% they feel so guilty about that they cannot envisage their body changing shape. So I encourage people to always think positively. If you've broken your diet or, you know, you've had a really late night out, instead of beating yourself off about it, go to the gym and do an extra 20 minutes, extra 30 minutes. You know, take it from a negative perspective and go very positive.
Okay, so just, you know, translate that to something more positive.
Yes. Never beat yourself up.
Okay. Yeah. So just spend, 20 minutes more, you said, doing interval training and things like that?
Yes. So if you have a manageable program and your weight is stabilized, you have to offset your treat days with a harder workout day.
Okay. But does it really matter if you overeat just for one night?
No. But going back to how people envisage themselves, I quite often get clients to take a photo of themselves and put it on the fridge from when they start training, and an old photo of when they were slimmer for the body they want to get back to, so they can envisage the slimmer, younger them. It helps quite a lot to visualize where you want to go in life.
Okay. But then, you know, after having children and stuff, for the females at least, Liam, there's no way you can go back to looking the way you did when you left school, for an example.
I don't know.
Let's be realistic here.
Well, realistically speaking, of course, I've worked with people who've had three children and still look fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I've worked
with people... Look fabulous, great, yeah, but don't expect to go back to look, you know, pre-pregnancy.
Yes, it's very difficult to look... you know, in terms of your youth, to go to turn the clock back. But I have worked with people who, after their pregnancy, within 3 months, have gone back to below their pre-pregnancy weight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they've actually lost weight from when they conceived.
Right, fantastic. We're discussing weight loss with Liam Harkness. He's a holistic lifestyle coach and sports therapist. If you have a question for him, send it through. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. Weight loss is what we're discussing with Liam Harkness, who's a holistic lifestyle coach and sports therapist. Liam has an entirely different view of, you know, how you can lose weight, not the traditional views when it comes to diet and exercise and things like that. There are 10 diet myths, Liam, that you have listed down. Do you want to go through it with me? The first one being breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And you don't agree with that?
Well, I feel it's a very important meal of the day, but I don't think it should be the largest meal of the day. So it's very important, because if you upset your blood sugar levels by eating sugary foods like cereals or fruit juices in the morning, your blood sugar levels will be ruined for the whole day. You'll be on a roller coaster.
So what do you suggest then? Just have the boiled eggs or, you know, as you said just now, very low carb content. And then you can have the fruit juices later in the day?
Well, as I said, you're trying to balance your blood sugar levels. If your goal is weight loss, you must improve your glycogen levels, not your insulin levels. So they work against each other. Mm-hmm. So if you have any form of sugar during the day, your blood sugar levels will increase, creating a storing problem in the body.
So then you are very much for... hardly any sugar then?
You can have it in the late afternoon or evening if you must have your sugars. But for me, it's best to have carbohydrates after you've exercised.
Okay, so muesli and orange juice, not something that you would suggest in the morning.
Please don't.
Oats and porridge will lower cholesterol. That's what I always understood.
So again, this is another big myth. Marketers always put these claims on, but they always say may. So may help reduce cholesterol levels. It doesn't really mean anything, but people or the purchasers, the consumers, read it and say, wow, may reduce cholesterol levels, so they purchase it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's again sugars.
Okay.
So sugars increase your triglyceride levels. It increases your body's potential to store fat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Eggs will raise cholesterol levels and are bad for health. There's a lot of debate surrounding eggs, really. Should you or should you not? I mean, I've just come to the conclusion that everything in moderation, really. But what's your take on eggs?
Well, we've always maintained that obviously the egg is nature's nutritional formula for a growing embryo.
Mm-hmm.
So it cannot possibly be bad for you unless you add extreme heat. So if you fry an egg, you turn all of the goodness into badness, mm-hmm. essentially. But athletes and bodybuilders have always used raw eggs, mm-hmm. for protein and health. But as I said, you will denature the good products inside an egg when you add excessive heat, especially the frying process.
Okay, so half-boiled eggs are all right?
Soft-boiled eggs and poached eggs are great, mm-hmm. yes.
Okay, yeah. Because what I'm thinking is when it comes to eggs, I really don't like them.
No. But if you don't like them, you shouldn't eat them.
It has to be fully cooked. It has to be fully cooked. And yes. You know what? If you talk about raw eggs and half-boiled eggs, I'm very much against it, Liam, at the moment, because I'm concerned about salmonella. I'm concerned about a whole host of other things.
Well, those are all very keen concerns. But when we look back in time, there's groups of people that lived off a diet of eggs, you know, for certain seasons of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was the mainstay of their diet, and they had no heart issues at all.
Yeah, but then that was ages ago when they were not sedentary. And,
well,
you know,
this is it, yes.
And they didn't commercialize the production of poultry the way we have.
No. So obviously I recommend free-range eggs that have no form of antibiotics or you know, alteration in the eggs themselves.
Or if it's free-range eggs, then
yes, maybe. Yes. So from a farm.
Yeah. I've always thought fish to be the best source of protein. You have a different view of that.
So once again, farmed fish, the protein is a really bad source of protein. So they actually add chemicals to turn, say, farmed salmon pink. Like a natural free-range or ocean-caught salmon. So you have wild-caught fish, which is a very different animal from a farmed fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same as, say, beef, for example. You know, wild buffalo, the meat, is highly nutritious.
Yeah.
A grass-fed cow, the meat is highly nutritious. Grass-fed cow, the health benefits of omega-3s actually outweighs a lot of the fish.
Okay.
Even the wild-caught fish.
So if it's wild fish, then, I mean, if it's fish caught in the sea, then it should be all right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Diet drinks will help you lose weight? Unfortunately, no.
No, well, this goes back to the whole sweetener issue.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's sweet, if you want to lose weight or if you have diabetes, then you should really cut out anything that stimulates your sweet taste buds in the mouth.
Okay. You should eat 5 to 6 small meals per day. That's what I always believed in.
So a long time ago, a nutritionist said, okay, well, if you want the body of an athlete, let's see what an athlete's diet looks like. So what they didn't take into account was an athlete's exercise too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you train like an athlete, you should eat like an athlete. But if you are sitting in an office all day and not training like an athlete, you should not eat like an athlete. So again, 6 meals a day has the potential to interfere with your blood sugar levels 6 times per day.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest that if you're sitting in an office all day, you're not really utilizing much energy, so you should really reduce the amount of times you eat,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of food at each meal.
Okay. And we should be eating light in the evenings?
I suggest your main meal of the day is around 6 or 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if you've passed that time...
Well, there's a conclusive study to say that eating late is bad for your health.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. the scientists say. However, I do personally believe that you should not eat after 8:30 or 9 p.m.
Okay, because? Mm.
Well, especially anything that triggers the liver, anything that has a high fat content, because your liver and your production of bile needs to subside in order for your liver to cleanse itself at around 11 till 1 a.m.
Okay, so ideally stop eating at 8:30.
Before 8:30.
Before 8:30.
Yes,
all right. And there is a myth that your weight will sort of yo-yo if you stop dieting. Is that true?
Well, if you go on a very strict diet and it's a temporary program, then you will have temporary results. So, of course, when you go back to eating normally again, or normally for you, your body weight and your body fat percentage will return to where it was previously.
Okay. Earlier on, I was asking you a typical diet plan for a day. We stopped at breakfast.
Yes.
What do you suggest? What happens after breakfast?
So, if I start, I would say you wake up in the morning and you do some form of exercise.
Mm. How long?
Only 10, 15 minutes is enough. I mean, ideally, if you have more time, you can do more. But the minimum should be probably about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You need to wake the body up. Then after you've stimulated your system, you've increased your circulation, you may take some food. There's no animal on the planet that wakes up in the morning and has a store of food next to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all have to hunt or gather. And we, essentially, as human beings, are the same. Except for now we have refrigerators, grocery stores, you know, fast food.
Yeah.
So think of yourself as an animal and you will naturally revert back to healthy eating habits.
Okay. So 10 to 15 minutes of exercise, after which you have, as you said, higher protein, lower carb sort of breakfast.
Yes.
What happens after?
Hopefully, again, you should be able to do some form of exercise before your lunch.
This is not realistic, Liam.
It's not realistic, but I'm...
Where am I going to go exercise before lunch here?
Well, this is it. I mean, the lifestyles we've created for ourselves are very unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do what you can, Mira. So I notice you work on the fifth floor, which means you've got five layers of stairs.
Yes.
Between you and the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if you walk up and down the stairs, it'll probably take you 10 minutes and we'll build up an appetite so that you may safely have lunch.
Okay, so I can do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Walk down and walk up.
Yes, please.
All right, okay. Mm. So that's considered my exercise for the afternoon.
Yes, because this is the situation you are in. I can't tell you to do a lap around a pool because there's no pool here.
Mm-hmm.
What you have is five flights of stairs. So please make use of them.
I'll do that in less than 10 minutes, actually.
Well, good, good, good.
So does that mean I need to do more?
As your stamina builds up, you may do a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why
okay.
not?
You have a sneaky smile written across your face.
Well, I always get these questions like, well, it's not practical.
No, it's
like,
not.
Well, good health in the 21st century is not practical.
No, it's not.
Which is why I have so many clients that come to see me because they're on medication. The medication they have because of their poor lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to A, get off their medication, and B, get well. They want to stop seeing doctors and start working with health practitioners.
Mm-hmm. I think what is sort of a deterrent is like when you say 10 to 15 minutes in the morning at home, right? 15
yes.
minutes, yeah. Everyone can allocate 15 minutes. But then the question is, what do you do in that 15 minutes? It's not practical to go out. We don't have parks nearby. If you do, you're lucky, right?
Yes.
So then what do you do? How do you work around what you have at home is what we really should be discussing.
Well, everyone should find some form of exercise they enjoy. So I've been around in Malaysia long enough. I've noticed that Qigong and Tai Chi,
mm-hmm.
Early morning swims, are quite popular with the elderly people.
Okay. That's because they don't go to work. I mean, as I sounded, you know, saying that, but they don't have
true.
To rush to work and stuff like that.
No, but then they do quite often get up at 5 or 6 in the morning. So you can learn these poses and do them at home. You basically just need to wake up and stimulate your body.
Okay, so yoga works as well. Yoga would work.
Yoga's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vitality chart where I work, and the first question we ask is, when you wake up in the morning, the first feeling you have with regarding your health and how alert you are, you know, give yourself a score from 1 to 10,
mm-hmm.
with 1 being, I feel really really bad, and 8, 9, 10 feeling I feel fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Most people come in, they feel maybe 3 or 4 out of 10.
Okay, so that's a lot of, I think most of us feel 3 or 4 out of 10.
Yeah, so they reach for stimulants. So a cup of coffee takes the average person maybe from 3 out of 10 to 5 out of 10. Maybe a cigarette if they smoke up to 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, this is a natural forms of stimulating your health.
So do you suggest then coffee not be on the menu for breakfast?
I suggest exercise be on the menu for breakfast, Mara. So
after that, Liam, can I have a cup of coffee?
After you've earned it, you may have almost whatever you like, but stay away from the sweet things in the morning.
Okay,
remember?
All right. One teaspoon of sugar?
Please don't.
No sugar.
No
sugar.
It's an addictive substance,
it
highly
is.
Addictive.
And I believe you. We stopped at lunch, so 10 minutes of some sort of exercise, if you could, for lunch. What do we have for lunch?
During the main part of the day, you should be eating natural foods. So you should be boosting your body's natural enzyme pool by eating greens, salads, natural soups. Stay away from processed foods. So again, anything like breads or noodles, anything that's been processed heavily, keep those, if you must eat them, for your evening meal after your digestive system's been up and running for 6-8 hours.
Okay, so go very light for lunch?
Yes, go light. So
that's not a lot of food. You've had breakfast. You've just had high protein. I'm going to be hungry by 11.
Well, what you feel as hungry is probably not hungry. You associate a feeling in your body as hunger, but I doubt you've ever really felt hungry.
You're playing tricks with my mind, aren't you, Leo?
No, again, you have these addictive substances. So say someone's addicted to a drug,
mm-hmm.
they may feel that they want that drug, even though their body doesn't need that drug. So it's the same with stimulants. So if you are addicted to coffee, if you're addicted to sugar, your body will tell you you're hungry and that you need them, whereas it's not strictly true. So if you had a good breakfast of some form of lean meat,
right.
then you may have, again, you probably won't be that hungry for lunch, but salads, soups, vegetables, and lean meat again are perfect.
Okay, for lunch. Moving on to dinner.
See, dinner, you have a little bit of license to add back into the foods that you may have missed during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can vary your taste. So some sweet, some spicy, some savory. Just mix it up. That will assuage all your natural hunger pangs.
We have a question here from, okay, we don't really have a name, but this person says, I'm 48 this year, 173 centimeters and 60 kilos. I love oily foods and very sweet drinks, and also I eat lots of veggie, rice and soups. My blood pressure is 120 over 80 and annual medicals always turn out to be normal. It's the same with 6 siblings. We have a high metabolism. None of us have any serious health issue. Is this normal?
Sorry, is it normal because she eats oily foods?
No, they're fine. They're all fine, despite eating, you know, oily food and, you know, eating sweet stuff, and they seem to be normal.
Ah, okay.
Is it in the genes? Because she's got 6 siblings and they all seem to be the same.
Yeah, I would obviously have a lot more questions to ask them.
Okay.
I mean,
it's hard to comment like this.
Yes, okay. Unfortunately. I mean, what comes up in the medical tests may not be the markers that I would be looking for.
What are the markers that you would look for?
Well, blood sugar levels, various other indications of inflammation,
mm-hmm.
Or pH imbalance. Again, I'd probably ask them, how do they feel when they wake up in the morning? 48, feeling okay, not gaining weight. It didn't really say whether they're male or female or anything. So it could just be good luck. Could be.
I wish I had such good luck. But anyway, most of us don't. Fact is, most of us don't. You didn't talk about exercising in the evening, though.
No. In the evening time, you know, you want to do something not so high intensity. So something a little bit more relaxing. So I prefer to do yoga, something we call like a work in, not a workout. Mm-hmm. So breathing exercises, some relaxation or calming exercises, something a little bit more low intensity before your main meal of the day.
Okay. And say you are the sort who goes to the gym in the mornings and things like that. So if I say, let's say I work out for half an hour, your minimum was 10, 15 minutes.
Yes.
But say I work out for 45 minutes in the morning.
You will feel great.
I will feel great. Yeah. But does that mean I still have to do the 10 minutes before lunch? And
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
I mean, if you ask a lion, you know, go find a zebra, but you know, you have to catch it first. He will go and chase down a zebra.
That's hence the reason why you said, think like the animals.
Yes.
Okay.
Survival of the fittest.
It is survival of the fittest.
It always will be survival of the fittest.
It's a change of mindset, really, isn't it?
It is, because people come to me with all their health issues, and I still say it's survival of the fittest. Just because there's no lion hunting you down and you're the weakest in the pack, there are other forms of disease which are symptomatic of a poor lifestyle choices.
Okay. And are your patients able to sustain this over the long term?
Well, let me tell you, when I tell them, you know, your health's very important to you, some people may say, yeah, okay, I'll take it for granted. Mm-hmm. But when a doctor says you are seriously ill, you have maybe 1 or 2 years to live, people suddenly wake up. They say, oh, okay, this is getting pretty serious. Yeah. I better start working on my health.
By which time a lot of things could have been avoided, really.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, the doctors use early detection as preventative medicine.
Screening.
Yeah, but I see people who get very nervous about going for their annual medical checkup. But obviously, if you take your health in your own hands, then there's nothing to be nervous about at all. You will know your body intimately. You will know that you're healthy or not.
Okay. And your message, Liam, I mean, you've spoken about the 6 pillars of wellness, which is sleep, hydration, exercise, thoughts, and emotions.
Yes.
Of course, that tops it all off, I'm assuming, when it comes to weight loss.
Well, those are your pillars of optimum health. Yes. So all of those 6 pillars are all integral to you feeling 8, 9, 10 out of 10 in the morning.
Okay. Your final message, Liam, what would you like to leave us with in terms of, as far as weight loss is concerned?
The secret to getting the body you want is always discipline. If you have poor self-discipline and you know that, then please get advice and please pay someone to provide the discipline for you. Secondly, do what feels right for you. There are many different diet programs out there, but each are beneficial for different body types. Everyone must listen to their own body and build a program around what works for you.
Okay, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
Liam Harkness, a holistic lifestyle coach and sports therapist on weight loss on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.